Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together all over the building. Let's work our way down as we're standing to the altar. We're going to worship today and give God the praise. For this is the day He has made, and we are going to rejoice in it. Father God, thank you tonight or this morning for what you have already done. We've experienced you in a great way in our first service, but God, now it's a brand new service. With that being said, God, touch us like only you can touch us. God, arrest those things that need to be arrested. Heal those things that need to be healed. We know that you're the great provider. We know, God, that you're going to do it. We look to you because you're bigger than our situation. We can pray to you all at the same time, and you still have the power to answer every person's prayer request. With that being said, we know that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we ask or think. And with that, we will praise your name, knowing that all things are working together for the good of them who love the Lord. And we say amen. Let's get ready to worship. Let's clap those hands, everybody in here. Come
You're
on.
You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me. You give me hope. You're making me whole. With grace you redeem me. Restore my soul.
Here we go.
Yeah.
gotta pray. Here we go. Cry, Lord. God, we thank you and we bless you. We honor you in this place. We give your name the glory. Do me a favor. We come here Sunday after Sunday, and we sometimes go through the same thing because that's how we set our services up. But if you want something from God that's new, tell your neighbor, say, you got to do something brand new. You got to do something new. If you want something from God, you got to do something brand new. Some of us stand there the whole time, and then some of us, we rock, we move. But could you do me a favor? You may be standing where you stand every single Sunday. Could you move maybe to a new spot? Why are you saying this, Pastor Johnson? Now, follow me. I'm a little unorthodox. I'm not this. I know out there in TV land, you're probably saying, well, I'm in my living room. Go to the kitchen. Singers, make a switch or something. You should know your part by now. You stay there. Now watch this. God is the same. He's omnipresent. But he's constantly doing something new. I believe that. And you're in a new spot in your worship. I want you to lift your hands and I want you to say, God, I want something new. I want something, not just what I already understand, but something new, a greater revelation, greater anointing. Just that simple move you made, you're in a new spot now. I want something new, God. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're my living hope. Y'all sing it. Your presence, Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. I've tasted and seen. Let it ring out. Where my heart,
becomes free,
and my shame is undone.
When my shame is undone.
I want his presence.
Your presence, Lord.
It's not going to take long to enter in. Come on, here we go. And here we go into the throne room of our God. Holy.
Come,
say. Those hands and your voices. Lift your hands and your voices. Let him pull you up by your hands in the spirit to the brand new experience. God, let us become more aware. Spirit break out all over this place right now. Without the hand of a pastor being laid on them, let the Holy Spirit move in this place today.
heaven come down. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Break out. Heaven, come down. Sing our Father, our Father, all of heaven draws your name. Sing louder, let this place erupt in praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Sing our Father, our Father, all of heaven knows your name. Sing louder, let this praise erupt with praise. The sound of heaven touching earth. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Break out. Heaven, come down. Sing with me. Spirit, break out.
King Jesus!
Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you imagine if God just breathes on us? I'm not talking he has to blow a strong wind. I'm talking if he just breathes on us. My heart is that God will just breathe on the people of this house. Because I know this. He'll wreck us all with one simple breath. I look forward to the day that all of a sudden the breath of God becomes so strong. The presence of God becomes so strong that it's just like in Chronicles. The Bible says in Chronicles, the anointing was so strong, the priest could not even stand in the presence of God. And I'm believing, God, that in this house, not church, not religion, but the presence and the breath of God will be so present that you can't even stand in his glory. Amen. Will you believe God with me for that this year? Man, I want that so bad. I just sit up here and I kind of chuckle to myself because literally what would happen if God just went all of a sudden, we'd all be like, boosh. You're going to say, well, I didn't even know what happened to me. Of course, because God touched you. And some of you need to get wiped out. Some of you turned a little religious in yourself. And you just need a fresh experience with Jesus. Amen. And it's in these moments, this breath of God, spirit breakout. Remember what revival is. Revival is reviving something that was once alive that is now dead. Revival isn't for sinners. Revival is for saints. For those who've lost their first love, they've left their first love. That God breathes on them and refreshes them in the spirit. And today, some of you need to return to your first works. Man, the most powerful time in your life was when you were worshiping God and when you were in the Word of God and working in the kingdom of God. And now for all the excuses of the world, you've stepped back. God is saying, it's time to repent. Return to your first works or I'll take away your candlestick. You see, God is calling us back to intimacy with him. Can I hear an amen? And just imagine the breath of God all of a sudden. I always pray that God will do it from the back forward. Because wouldn't that look cool? All of a sudden, everybody's being slain in the spirit from their back. I remember I was praying for a guy in Massachusetts once. He was about 6'7", about 300 pounds. I laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, and he was slain in the spirit right on top of me. The ushers had to pull him off. Can you imagine if all of a sudden the presence of God, the breath of God, went from the back all the way to the front? Why do I say the back? Because many times people in the back are dislocated from the service. What's happened is there's so much going on around you, you can't pay attention. I'm praying that God will mess us all the way from the back to the front. Can I hear an amen? Just the breath of God. So can we ask together? Father, please hear our hearts. We want you to mess us up. We want you to breathe on us, Jesus. From the back of this sanctuary to the front. In such a supernatural way that not one of us will be able to leave without saying, Jesus changed my life. God, we ask that every week your presence will increase. And Lord, we ask for that breath for 2017. I posture my heart, my expectancy, my passion for that move of God in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't God good? How many of you love the Lord this morning? Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell somebody, I'm ready. I'm expecting God to move in my life. Thank you. Before you do the announcements, if you could put the lights back on, this young lady's heading out to where? To Kuwait. She's part of the army, and we want to pray with her before she heads out. Amen. Can we give her honor? Now, honey, you're going a long way from home, but look at all the folk that love you. So if you'll leave us your address, we'll make sure you get food. One, two. Here we go. Can we pray for her? Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that your angels will surround and protect her in Jesus' name. God, as she goes, Lord, it's not always a beautiful environment. We ask in Jesus' name that you will draw her to yourself and that, God, she will be a tremendous testimony. Lord, not be drawn into the ways of the world, but will be one that will swim up current and declare that God is good. And that, Father, she will hold a testimony so strong that others around her will have to say, I want to serve the God that you know. Father, let her recognize she has a whole family here cheering her on. Lord, that we're supporting her and backing her up. And that, Lord, we love her. So protect her in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, we're very proud of you. Thank you so much. Amen. Now we can do the announcements.
See you again. Do you know what you want to get? Do you need a menu?
Oh, you should know what I want by now.
It's very true. All right, let me go put the order in and I'll be right back, okay?
Yeah. Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Brought to see your favorite place on your favorite day.
Again. Again. You know, the kids knew we were coming here.
Oh, look at that.
Again.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
Well, the shrubbery here is quite nice.
You know, Melanie's husband takes her to a different restaurant every year. What?
Huh?
You know, it's really, really sad that I have to look to another couple for an example of what a marriage should be, okay?
When
I look
Oh at them, my gosh. I knew I shouldn't have drank all that water because now I gotta use the bathroom. But see, if I get up, she's going to be even more upset. I need something to distract her. Maybe like a show or something. Wait, didn't Nick have that goings on and nonsense?
Valentine's Day plans, Uproar has you covered. February 10th at 6:30 p.m. and it's a black tie affair, so make sure you dress to impress. Tickets will be on sale in the foyer. Bring your spouse, bring a friend, and come enjoy the Uproar talent show.
I'm so excited that you're all joining Next Steps and strengthening your walk with Christ. Our next Step 2 class starts on January 10th. It runs for 8 straight weeks on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8. This is an amazing class where we learn about how our faith relates to our finances. Sign up today at the Hub or go online, histabernacle.com, and sign up.
Good news, starting on January 15th, if you're in 7th to 9th grade, you're going to have your own service. Food, games, and a message. Second service starting January 15th. For more details, you can email us at youth@histabernacle.com or inbox us at UproarHT.
awesome commercial. Stay connected. Look at your neighbor on the left and right and say, stay connected. Amen. Oh, amen. We're so excited to be welcome to the new year, and you've had a chance to welcome each other, but I also want to welcome our guests who are here. How many folks here are guests? Invited guests. Oh, my God, wonderful. Welcome. Keep those hands raised up. Oh, we just thank God for you. If you'll raise your hand, you're going to receive a gift packet right now. And come on, raise your hands. We want to make sure our ushers get to them. And we're really excited because there's a guest reception for you. And we want to welcome you to that. So keep your hands up in His tabernacle. Welcome our guests. Come on, let's clap for them. And so excited that they're here. We also want to make sure that you feel good and welcome. So look at your neighbor on the left and right and say, neighbor, welcome. Come on, look at them. So I'm so glad you're here this morning. Amen. Amen. A hearty welcome to them. Now, we have our live stream guests that we also want to welcome. Our live stream church is out there. So let's wave at them and look at them and say, hey, welcome. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here as well. Just a review of just a couple of the announcements with you this morning. Just want to make sure that we are able to stay on track with those. And as we move into the new year, we had an awesome time of our fasting and prayer, First Fruits. How many folks were involved in that? Raise your hand if you were. We just want to thank you for being involved in First Fruits and all the support that you gave. And already we are off to an awesome time in this new year. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say, new season. New surrender, supernatural power. Amen. Amen. So we are off to a great start. But I also want for those of you who say, oh, we're finished with the fasting and prayer. No, let's commit to God this year to live a fasted lifestyle. Amen. Amen. Let's do that this year. Also want to remind you, you saw the Next Steps program announcements, but the finance and faith class will start January 10th. So please make sure you sign up for that on the His Tabernacle website. And then also want to remind you, the Uproar Talent Show, you saw a little bit of a preview. You do not want to miss that. Amen? So February the 10th, we want to make sure that you are here for the Uproar Talent Show. And then our Rock Solid Faith is hosting a graduation. How many people are going to be graduating from Rock Solid Faith? Amen? Amen. Oh, God, pastor's going to graduate again. So it's really great. Many times we start stuff, we don't finish. These folks have finished. So we just want to come out and celebrate them on February 12th. So let's give some glory to God for their accomplishment in advance. Amen. Rock Solid Faith graduation. So we also have a special announcement today, and Pastor Banfield's going to come forward, and I think with Pastor Spencer, and just share a special announcement. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Or is it afternoon? And if it's not afternoon, Pastor will keep you afternoon. All right. So what we're going to do is present our first set of Next Steps certificates to people who went through the first class. Yay! So all of you can be, it's right, it's the first class was Making of a Marriage. Okay, now, the second class starts Tuesday. It's 7 o'clock. I know that you can either sign up at the hub, you can call the office, or you can just show up, all right? Now, many of you are not involved in Next Steps, so we encourage you to participate in that. And so, Chris works in the office here. He is the administrator of Next Steps. He keeps track of everything and organizes it all.
Good job, Chris.
And the people behind me are the people who completed the first class of Making of a Marriage. All right? So we're going to give out certificates to those that participated and to those that instructed. So our first instructor was Pastor Rhonda. So you give it. No. You're going to give them to him.
I'm
going to
give it to him.
Yeah. Okay. Our next instructor was Roxanne Beach. Yep, the next instructor was Rick Beach. And now for the participants. who got a lot of tools to put in their tool bag to help them with a better marriage. Greg Butts. Okay. And Barbie Butts. Alan and Carrie Kirkendall. And Queenie Ramsey.
How long have you been married? How many years? 52 years.
They've been married either 51 if you ask him or 52 if you ask her years. Ken and Robin Mayhood. Newlyweds, Bruce and Eileen Girardi. And one of our dedicated Matthew 25 workers, Tammy Johnson. And next is Pastor Cody and Mindy Spencer. Next is Chris and Angela Morgan. Jay and Erica Collins. And Rick and Susan Blaha.
She said he did good so he can have it.
So I just want you all to know that we have a Rock Solid Faith graduation coming up in February, and those that want to participate, either see me or see Chris so we can put you on a list. We're only going to be able to accept 20 this time. So I've already got one signed up. So thank you very much.
Am I praying for them? All right, we're going to pray for them. Amen? I didn't sign them? Okay. I'll sign them later. Don't we have a stamp? I'm just kidding. Where's Pastor Dan? Amen. We're so excited because this is very important, and that is that you got to grow up in Christ. Amen. And the way to do that is investing in your own spirit. And so we have Rock Solid Faith every Tuesday, Wednesday morning, or Thursday night. We offer it three times a week. Why? So that you can always make sure you're there. And then we have step two, which is one of these kind of classes. Then we have step three and step four. So I just want to congratulate all of step two. Can you give them one more hand clap? Make sure you join. If you're having financial issues or want to learn about finances, you need to join next step two on Tuesday on finances. So let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for marriage. God, you created it. Lord, it's something that wasn't just thought up in man's mind. Lord, you made the two one flesh. So God, today in the name of Jesus, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. We ask that every single understanding and deposit of wisdom and word will never be able to be ripped out, and that these couples will be able to say, even as my uncle and I, 52 years later, they're still married. God, we rebuke the spirit of divorce that's come upon the church. And God, we declare that the marriages will not just be married, but they'll have a great time being married. Lord, they'll still not only love each other because they've got to, they'll like each other because they want to. So, Lord, we just speak blessing over their marriages in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
And don't worry if you missed out on this first one. They will be offering them regularly throughout the year. So look and make sure you get involved in the Next Step classes.
Thank you all, even though you're wearing a Miami's Dolphin. Praise the Lord. I'm not against the Dolphins today. I want them to beat the Steelers. Glory to God. Y'all need a better attitude. Praise the Lord. It's an exciting year. We're getting ready to step into. One thing we wanted to do is we have an opportunity available for somebody in the body. And we are looking for someone to fill the responsibility of hospitality. If you're a person that likes to cook, good with cooking, building teams, you're a leader, we would love to be able to have you join and actually be a leader of the hospitality team. Phenomenal opportunity. In fact, what I love about it, the Bible says, if you give a prophet a glass of water, you get a prophet's reward. What's really cool is that the head of hospitality always gets to meet the great speakers that we bring in. They get to serve them and minister to them. And just think, if you get a prophet's reward by giving them water, what do you give them by giving them a steak? Woo, come on now. You know you're going to get a better reward. So if you would like to do that, if you could see Pastor Daniel Dykes, he's going to stand up in the front. He's the gentleman with a very good chin. He's a very nice chin. Doesn't he have a good chin? Solid chin, you know. So we're very excited, Pastor Dan. So if that's something you'd like to do, we always just want you to grow up. We just want you to grow in Christ and fulfill God's destiny for your life. It's exciting. What an exciting opportunity to be used by Jesus himself. Right now we're going to receive the offering. And you know, a lot of people talk about offering, and what they automatically think about is, yep, the church just wants your money. I want to remind you that this is not the year of giving. It's the year of, come on, this is the year of generosity. Generosity, you're going to hear this in a message this year. Generosity is different from giving. You see, people give. And giving is something that really is expected. In fact, when you look at tithes and offerings, a lot of people say, yep, well, we call it giving. I'm going to go give to the Lord. But you're actually not giving to God when you give your tithe. You're actually returning. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to return. What do you mean return, Pastor? The Bible says that God has given us 90% to be stewards of, and he said the 10% is holy unto me, which means bring all your tithe to the storehouse. So the tithe is not you and I giving to God. The tithe is you and I returning to God, making the declaration that he is our source. Amen? It's a scary thing that many people have their source as their job. They have their source as their boss. They have their source in the economy. The moment you start doing that, you're living an unstable life. Why? Because what happens if you get fired tomorrow? What happens if your company closes? What happens if all of a sudden the economy takes a dive? When you're relying upon the things of the world as your source, you're always in a vulnerable position. But when you're a tither, when you're giving to, when you're returning to God what is his, the Bible says at that moment, you have made God responsible for your finances, which means this, that if your company closes, it's God's job to get you a job. That if the economy has problems, that you can become wealthy even during a bad economy. Well, I hope you know that. There are more millionaires made in the Depression era than any other time of history. God's responsibility is to take care of you when you're a tither. So I want to encourage you, be a tither. This is just intelligence. Can I hear an amen? I mean, it's not just that I want to please God. It's just like, duh, if God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who I'm asking God to move in my life financially, to him that's just pavement. Remember, heaven's made out of streets of gold. I just want a little chunk of pavement. Can I hear an amen? So I'm not asking for much for the King, and when we position him, he then blesses us. So this morning as you give, I want to remind you, don't be just a giver. Be generous. Generosity is giving above what's expected. The tithe is returning. Generosity is beyond. As you and I are generous, God blesses the more and the generous. Can I hear an amen? It's the very nature of our Father, and that's what I love about God. He is predictable. You know that, right? God looks in mysterious ways. How many of you heard somebody say that before? Find that. No, you can't find that in the Bible. That's just good religion. God isn't mysterious. He's very predictable. He says, if you do this, I'll do this. Whoop, did you hear that? God says, if you do this, I'll do this. So if you're ready, we're going to make our supernatural declaration. If you're a guest with us this morning, we actually bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. No one shakes you down in your chair because we want it to be a free will that God, I'm returning what is yours. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it says this, if I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. Who are you? Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. Give God a shout as you're ready to return to the King. If you're watching by live stream right now, we want to remind you that it's not just taken. We have over 100 computers every single week on live stream that are watching. Your very small amounts are tithed or sown. You know, the Lord spoke to me about a year and a half ago that someone from His Word TV, which is our television program that shows on ABC and CBS, and also someone from that's watching by live stream is going to write $1 million check. Help us pay off this building. Now, I encourage you, if God has already spoken to you, make sure that you do that. Obey Him. You can walk right over, hit the give button right on your computer. And if you're receiving, make sure that you're tithing if this is your home. We love you. Make sure you serve God with all of your heart and enjoy the rest of the service. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was talking to a man of God, and he's telling me about this shirt that he had, and I said I wanted to see it. It says this, the devil whispers you can't withstand the storm, and the warrior replied, I am the storm. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm the storm. Praise the Lord. You are the storm. What a great day this is that God gets to speak to us. You know, I want to encourage y'all, don't be late next week. Something's going to happen within the first probably 10 minutes of the service. So you don't want to miss it. It's going to be different. It's going to be unique. We're going to mix things up a little bit. So how many of you were here when we changed the direction of the service before? Many of you maybe not remember that. But we, every once in a while, will change actually the entire sanctuary. One week they came in and I was on that side wall. Another week we came in and everybody was in a big circle and I was in the middle. It was a horror show for the TV station. But I want to remind you that change is good. Turn to someone and say, I love change. Tell somebody else, I love change. And all of you who just lied, make sure you repent. Hallelujah. We'll make that your prayer. But I want you to come next week, or be on time next week. In fact, bring somebody, be on time. This morning we are going to be so blessed because the first lady of the house said, Pastor, I have a message from God that I know He's asked me to share, and she's been talking to me now for about 2 months. And so this morning, we get to hear from the first lady, Pastor Rhonda Spencer.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, actually, it hasn't been 2 months. It's been 2 weeks, but it's been a busy 2 weeks. So it was the last week of December. Last week of December, I
Maybe I just feel, you know, the nagging part is part. Of I just got kind of overwhelmed and lost in that whole thing.
Yeah, he'll be joining the marriage class, the next First Steps going around. Just kidding. But the last week of December, we were in worship and we were singing that song, My Life Is Not My Own. And the Spirit of God just really spoke to me on that. And I began to write, and 4 pages later, a message from God. And I asked Pastor, not Nag, I asked him, and you know, whenever you speak to him, we all know this, if you speak to him that God's given you a word, you're going to be up here. So I just want to share on My Life Is Not My Own. Everything belongs to God. And I want you to bear with me to the end of this, because it's really an awesome honor and privilege when we wrap this all up. But my life is not my own. Everything belongs to God. Our breath, our gifts, our talents, our things, our families, our children, everything belongs to God. So let me read you the word of God, because it's quick and powerful and it does not return void. Acts 17:24 says, God made the world and everything in it. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Hebrews 3:4 says, every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. So you might be the GC or the general contractor, but God is the actual owner of everything. So in that, there's a little bit of relief. You know, being the GC is a lot easier of a job than being the owner, having to produce and create everything. But we get the privilege of being the GC. We get the honor of being the general contractor of our lives that God has entrusted to us. A GC on a job, their whole desire is to please the person hiring them, to please the boss. And that needs to be our desire as we GC our lives, is to please the Father, to please God. Isaiah 43 says, you are mine. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. So I have an example of a football player. When I was praying about this, I was thinking, and you know, it's football season, so we're watching football and watching who's playing. So a football player, who's going to the Super Bowl? Okay. All right, here's another question. Who do you think out of all the teams has been like the MVP of football this year? Okay. I can't hear what you guys are saying, but just keep that in your mind while we're talking about this. A football player on a team, they come out to the game day after day, practice, using their physical body, using their gifts, their talents, everything that they have. I mean, they get broken for the game. They have to get cortisone injections just to keep going for the game. This is what a football player does. And, you know, that's awesome. They're a player in the game, but they are not the owner of the team. Whoever those people, they aren't the owner of the team. So what would happen if that MVP, that team player, comes in and starts acting like the owner? Not following the instructions or the way the game is supposed to be played. It does not matter how gifted or how talented that person is. They are not going to be playing in the game. Right? So we are like that, and they do that every day. They sacrifice like that every day for the love of a little leather ball or the glory of the game. All for that. How much more in the kingdom of God, as team players on the winning best team, should we do for God just for the love of Jesus? How much more should we be serving God and living a team player in his team than even mere temporal football? You're a player on God's team. Everything belongs to God. But he is such a generous God. It is awesome, his generosity. If we go all the way back to the beginning, we get to see how generous he is, and we get to see what our purpose is. Because what is our purpose in all of this? The garden was created by God for man, and he gave him dominion over it all. It was not his. He did not create it, but he was given everything to be a steward over. And steward simply means a manager of somebody else's property. We are called all through the Word of God to be stewards of his kingdom. Your life is not your own. You are managing God's property. Everything, your breath, your everything, all that stuff you think you studied so hard, you worked so hard, it's all God's. You're a manager of those things. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies." Glorify God. Deuteronomy 8:17-18 says, "Otherwise, you may say in your heart, 'My power and strength of my hand has made me this wealth.' But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth." Everything comes from God. He is the generous owner that bestows it and entrusts it upon you. Now, this gets us down to our purpose. And everyone has a purpose. Everyone. There is not one person that is omitted from having purpose in God's kingdom. And our purpose, again, right back to the beginning, Genesis 1:28 says, "God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" And again, three times in Genesis, he tells us to be fruitful, to multiply and fill the earth. Three times in one chapter. And then again in Genesis 35:11. So, all through the beginning, he's telling us our very purpose. He so generously created and owns the whole earth and everything in it. Our breath, our gifts, our talents, our lives, our things, our children. He so generously gives us those things for our lives. He puts us in it to enjoy it. And then he tells us to be fruitful, multiply, fill it, and subdue it. Be fruitful. That is our purpose. Like our verse all last year in Kingdom Seed, Psalms 1:3, "They shall be like trees planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit each season. Their leaf never withers, and they prosper in all that they do." Our purpose is to be fruitful and to prosper. So what is fruitful? I had to ask this. What is fruitful? Fruitful refers to godly character, generosity, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of those things. All of God's character and nature is fruit that is produced. Our finances, that's fruit that is produced. Anything seed that can produce is your fruit. It also refers to others that are one to Christ. So that is what we are to be fruitful in. And then we are to multiply and fill it. Now, In order to produce fruit, it is very important to remember the only way to produce fruit is for a vine to stay connected. A vine must be connected. A branch on the vine has to be connected in order to bring forth fruit. So the only way for you to bring forth fruit, which is our purpose and our destiny on this earth, is to stay connected to the vine, and then we will bring forth fruit and we will prosper in everything. We will be like that tree that is planted. So we are to be continuously producing godly character and winning others to Christ. We are to be a steward, a manager of everything God has entrusted us with. Now, I tell my husband this regarding our finances. It's, honey, I get that the money is yours, that you're the owner. I get to be the manager of your money. It's such an awesome thing. It's so much fun to be a manager of somebody else's money. But in that, I want to be a good manager. I'm not saying I'm going to go out and be wasteful. No, my desire is to please my husband, that he can have peace in his finances and not have to worry about tomorrow. It is my desire to be a good steward of what I manage over. And that should be our desire with God. I want to please God in that same way. And it should be our desire in our managing of everything that he gave us out of a heart that wants to please God. So Matthew 25 is a passage I'm going to paraphrase for you. And it starts out by saying, the kingdom of God is like this. So this, he's explaining to us what our purpose is, what the kingdom is all about. It's like this, a ruler that goes away and trusts all of his stuff to his servants. And he gave to each one talents, every single one. Not one was left out. This is what the kingdom of God is like. The ruler has gone away. He's entrusted every single one of us with gifts and talents. Some he gave 10, some he gave 5, and then to the other he gave 1. The one with 10 talents went out and he multiplied. He was fruitful. He multiplied and he filled what was in front of him. And the same with the person that had 5 talents. And then the one that had 1 talent, he was fearful. He was afraid. So he buried that talent in the ground. And when the ruler came back, he presented that 1 talent. And I want to read this to you from the Word of God, because this isn't me making up what the kingdom of God is all about. This is the Word of God. And when he presented that talent and said that he was afraid, but his master answered him, "You wicked and lazy servant. I don't want to stand before God and have him reply that I was wicked and lazy. I want to hear him say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" And no one of us should stand before God. There's such a great responsibility in pastoring. You know, it'd be nice not to share this word, just to cheerlead and say, "Go, go, go, yay, life is great and perfect." But I want to take my responsibility seriously and warn you, the king is coming back. He's coming back soon. And I don't want you to be sitting there with a buried talent doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Not anybody in this family, not anybody in this house. I want to warn you and tell you, we must be busy doing our purpose. We must be busy for the kingdom of God so that he can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Romans 14:12. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the spiritual gift that is within you. Every single one. Don't discount yourself. You're not out of it. Every single one of you has been given a spiritual gift. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. And 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, as each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, employ it for one another. We're supposed to do it for one another in the body. We're supposed to produce for one another in the body as befits good trustees of God. We are to be good trustees of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians. That is what we're called to do. Now, I don't want you, I love this scripture right here, because I don't want you to feel like, well, they're doing it, so-and-so's doing it, so, you know, I can't do it like that, and that's the only way to serve God. No, right in this passage, he tells us that there is a many-faceted, very diverse spiritual talent. So don't discount that you can't do anything in the kingdom because it's not standing up here worshiping or it's not doing what. So God has blessed every single one of you with gifts and talents. Maybe it's something that's not even currently being done in the house of God. That doesn't mean it is not working for God's kingdom. That could be your diverse or many-sided gift and talent. So don't cookie-cutter it. Be careful of getting that religious concept of what this looks like. Every single one of you has a gift and a talent from God, and he takes your purpose and your stewardship of his kingdom so seriously. We are all going to, we've read the scripture, stand and give an account. He takes it so seriously. His kingdom is completely reliant on us. He has gone away and trusted all of it with us. His kingdom is reliant on you and what you will do. His kingdom needs you. He takes it so seriously. He will return and reconcile every account as we stand before him individually. Not one of us will get away with doing nothing with our lives like the man who buried his talent. Not one of us. We live in America. It is the land of the free and the land of opportunity. Literally, we have no excuse that will stand before God. None, because of where we live. We are like the person that was given 10 talents or even more, because we have endless opportunities in front of us. We see it in the movies and stuff like that. People that literally live on the streets and have nothing. Work hard and become and make something. This is America. We have unlimited opportunities. We can do anything. And then when we realize that nothing is ours, and we are doing it all for God's glory and God's kingdom, then add the supernatural power of God to our already land of opportunity of the free and the brave. Add that supernatural to that. There is nothing stopping you from greatness. There is nothing hindering you or blocking you from using your gifts and talents for the kingdom of God. Do not bury your talent. God is so generous and has entrusted us with his power. He's entrusted us with everything in this world is available to us. Everything that we need for life and godliness. He has given us the manual, the constitution. He has given us supernatural power to move mountains. He has given us he's been so generous to give us everything to make us great in his kingdom for his glory. The king is coming to see what we have done. Have we been fruitful, multiplied, and filled the earth? Or have we buried the many-faceted talents that he has put inside of us? Everyone is entrusted with the same thing. You have access to the same thing anybody else has access to. No one is left out, and everyone has purpose. Do not look down on yourself. He has purpose and destiny in every single one of you in this place. Maybe you've only been given one talent, but you live in America. You have the supernatural power of God behind you. There is nothing you can't do. Now, another area we get tripped up in is it doesn't matter how much good someone else is doing, it has no effect on my account that will be reconciled with God. It's easy to look at the person with 10 talents and be like, woohoo, yeah, go, you go, you're doing so good. That does nothing for my account that will be reconciled for God, in sight of God. Maybe if you can't think of what your gift and talent is, maybe you should join up with one that you see that's doing great. Join up and come alongside with. Help build somebody else's talent. Maybe you think you've got no talent at all, but you can help somebody else, encourage them and push. Maybe that's your gift. Maybe that's your talent. It's an encouragement. Remember, don't discount yourself. His gifts and talents are many faceted. If you've done nothing for the kingdom, thinking, well, others are doing, everybody else is taking care of it, you know, I don't need to do it, you will be like the man that buried his treasure and just brings that back to the Lord. Your life is not your own. Today is not yours. 2017, it does not belong to you. You are entrusted. You are a steward. You are a manager of it. God is coming back. The ruler is coming back to see what you have done with what he's entrusted to you. Now, I have good news for you today. Maybe you've buried your talent. Maybe you just didn't even know you had purpose, a calling. Maybe you didn't know you were valuable and important. But I have good news to tell you today. Yesterday is gone, and today is a brand new day. It doesn't even matter. Go dig that thing up and start doing it for the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what hour you enter into the kingdom of God. One of my other favorite parables in the Word of God is where the man had a vineyard and he hired people to come in and work early in the morning, and he offered them a wage, and they came in and they worked. And then in the afternoon, more came in. He offered them the same wage as the ones that had been there all day long. And then in the evening, they came in and he offered the same wage as those that had been working there all day long. And in the 11th hour, people came in and he offered them the same wage. So the good news for you today is it doesn't matter what you did yesterday, but today, moving forward, it can count for the kingdom of God. The most fulfilled you will ever be is when you're serving in God's kingdom, because it is your purpose. Seriously, if you think back when you were the happiest or you were the most fulfilled in your life, I guarantee it was when you were serving in the kingdom of God. There is nothing that fulfills like serving in the kingdom of God, because it's your purpose. It's your destiny. It's what you're called to. It's what will fulfill you. What are you going to do to start being fruitful in God's kingdom, to increase it and multiply it? Remember, it's many faceted. Maybe you're married and you're a woman and we're called to be a helpmate. Maybe I can just increase in my skills at being a helpmate to my husband. Increase in that. Maybe it's that you're an encourager. Encourage more people. Be always increasing. Maybe it's you own business and you can finance the kingdom of God. Increase in that. Always be increasing. Maybe you're a discipler. We're all called to disciple other people. Maybe you can simply give somebody a ride to church. Increasing the kingdom of God. I don't know what it looks like. Don't put it in a cookie cutter that you've got to be a preacher or you've got to be an evangelist or you've got to be a teacher. No way. His gifts are many faceted. So it's what we had. Pastor was just telling me earlier, we had a woman that did a knitting ministry at one time. Yeah, a knitting ministry. Go figure. She loved to knit, so she invited people out to knit. They had a soul saved in their knitting ministry. Don't put it in a little box. Whatever God has gifted, whatever you love to do is what you should be doing for the kingdom of God. It's not a chore. Your purpose Your destiny is not a chore. It is an honor. You are a part of the winning best team that is out there. You are a son and daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, this is not bondage for you. It's not chore. It's not slavery. It is stewardship. It is management. You are a trustee of the kingdom of God. Don't you just love it when someone jumps in with joy to help out? You know, they started this backdrop project this week, and there was a couple people, and they were working hard. It was a lot of tedious small pieces and working hard. And then on Friday, I believe it was, we had a group of people show up and save the day. And you know what? They all had fun. They enjoyed doing it. They came in simply just out of wanting to serve in God's house. It is the most fulfilled place you will ever be, and it is not a chore. It is a gift and an honor. You are a CEO. You are a COO. You are the president of your own life, of the kingdom of God within you. So you might have thought, no, I don't have any kind of title. I'm no good. I'm nothing. No, you are the president of the kingdom of God that resides within you. You are a president in the most prestigious company that is out there. You are the CEO of that in your life. Start dressing like it. Start acting like it. Start doing it. You are the president of the kingdom of God inside of you. Now, that doesn't mean you get to make the rules. The president doesn't make the rules. There is a constitution that we follow in that. But when we follow this constitution as the president of the kingdom of God inside of us, everyone is important. Everyone is valuable. Everyone has purpose in God's kingdom. You are a president of the greatest company. You're a player on the best team that is out there. And he is an awesome, loving, and generous God. And nothing will fulfill you more than serving in his kingdom because it's your purpose. Think about it. You know it's your purpose when you were working in God's house and you felt the best that you've ever felt. Yesterday's gone. Today's brand new. You can get back into working in his kingdom. He's entrusted his everything to you. And he's expecting great things. He's not expecting any one of you to go and bury your talent. That's not his expectation. His expectation is he has equipped you. He has authorized you. He has given you power. His expectation is only for your success. That is his desire. And actually, he's interceding to the Father right now for your success. He does not expect that anyone will bury it. He's cheering you on. He's believing in you. It's what he's called you and purposed you to. Your life is not your own. I just pray for such a fresh revelation of this today. Your life is not your own. We are going to stand before our awesome, generous God who has given us everything. And he's going to say, what did you do for my kingdom? And we want him to look at us and say, you have been fruitful. You have multiplied and you have increased. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What an honor. What a privilege to serve him. It is not a bad thing that our life is not our own. Actually, there's some sense of relief and that he is the owner of everything and we just get to manage. That's access that Pastor preached about last year. That's the access. He's the owner. I like to tell him, I have these conversations with him because I get that he's the owner of everything. He's the owner of my physical body. This is his. This is the vessel that I work to bring him glory with. So I just tell him, God, what do you want your vessel to work like? How do you want it to? This is yours. You don't want it broke down and unable to do it. So I need you to heal my body. I need you to work through my body. Whatever it is, maybe you just struggle it. He's the owner of it. Bring it to him. Say, God, this is yours. And then watch him supernaturally show up with resolve for you. Show up with answers. Move mountains on your behalf. When we are walking in our purpose, connected to the vine, according to his constitution, there is no more prestigious, fulfilled place than serving in God's kingdom. It is an honor. The king is returning. What will you present to him? Revival, we sang it earlier. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. Guess what? The kingdom of God is here. It's within you, and it's been entrusted to you. How awesome, this great crowd of people. And we had a great crowd of people in first service. The kingdom of God is here and present. We need to be aware of his presence. We need to be aware that his kingdom resides in us. And if every single one of us realize that our life is not our own, and we become stewards of the kingdom of God, where we are with our gifts and talents, revival will sweep through this land. Revival can't not happen if we recognize the power of God that resides, that you are the president over in your own life. If we all realize that, then revival is going to sweep. 2017 is going to look like no year before. When we employ our gifts to benefit others, to bring glory to God, to be fruitful, and it is our purpose and our destiny. It is what we are called to. Every single one of you is so important to God. Every single one of you have a prestigious title, calling, role in his kingdom. So today, let's acknowledge that. Let's not just acknowledge it. Let's do it. It's easy to think of things, and I'm sure as we've sat here through this service, you've thought of things. God's brought up to your memory something that you are gifted and talented in that you can be doing to fulfill your purpose and your call. He's brought that up to you. It is not enough to just think about it. That treasure is still buried if we're just thinking about what we could do. It's not even enough to talk about it. It's not enough to come to Pastor Dan or Pastor Spencer and say, you know, God's really laid it on my heart to do that. That's awesome. That's a good first step. But we've got to activate. We've got to do it. We've got to start making it happen, being faithful stewards of it, increasing and multiplying. And that's what we're going to see in 2017 as we acknowledge our purpose and our awesome role with our very generous God who has made everything available to us. We have access to everything that we need to accomplish anything. Anything for the kingdom of God. I called her out in first service and she's not here second service, but I'll call her out again. Tammy Sumi, just a regular person that comes to church, 3 years ago, saw a need, saw something she could do, and she just started doing it. And that was Matthew 25, feeding the hungry, clothing them, blessing them. And now it is this fantastic ministry with other people being able to come alongside and join in and make this a great thing for God's kingdom. Every single one of you have that kind of production inside of you. Every single one of us have something we could be doing to further the kingdom of God. His kingdom is reliant on you. You are important and valuable. Don't discount yourself. Whatever it is you love, do it. Start doing it. Start doing it for God's glory and for God's kingdom so that when we stand before him, he can say, well done, thou good and faithful. So you might not get pats on the back on this earth. People might think what you do is completely insignificant and unimportant. They might not say thank you and they might not acknowledge you, but that does not matter, because whatever you do for God will last. You'll be able to come before him. Maybe it's you took out the garbage every single week out of his house. Maybe you planted landscaping to make his house beautiful. I don't know. Maybe you greet. Maybe you hold an umbrella in the foyer. Maybe it looks completely different than any of that. Whatever it is, you keep doing that for the kingdom of God. Increase in that, maintain it, multiply it, and he will be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Our lives are not our own. Amen. If you'll just bow your heads with me and close your eyes, I'm going to have Pastor Johnson come and play I Surrender All. First, I'm going to do a salvation call. But then after that, so while you're sitting there, I'm going to ask while he sings this song that you get out a piece of paper and a pen, or you get out your iPhone on the notepad or wherever you want to write it, and write what God is speaking to you right now, because he is speaking to you. He wants you in your purpose. He wants you in your destiny. By writing it down, you're making yourself accountable. You're acknowledging that you hear God and then take steps to make action towards that. But as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if anybody in this place this morning has never asked Jesus to come in to be the Lord of their life, I want to invite you today to enter into God's kingdom and know him as the best friend that you will ever have. And maybe you're in this place and you've just walked away from that first love in your purpose, in your passion, and you want to come back to him today and say, Lord, I give you my life. It is not my own. If that's you, either one of those in this place today, and you want to invite the Lord in your life, if you'll just raise your hand real quickly. I'm not going to wait long. There's not a lot of time. If that's you and you want the Lord to come into your life for the first time, or you want to get back to your first love, if you'll just raise your hand up quickly. 5, thank you, thank you. 4, 3, 2, and 1. Now for the rest of you, as we sing this song, I want you to write that thing down. Write what God is speaking to you. Write it in your phone. Make yourself accountable. We don't want another year going by and be in the same place with the same buried talent as we are right now. Let's increase. Let's be fruitful and multiply. Go ahead, Pastor Johnson. You can put your hands down. It's not our own.
I will never love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. Lord, I surrender. Blessed Savior, I surrender.
You are the president of the kingdom of God within you. I expect that Pastor Dan will get lots of phone calls throughout this week with your purpose and your destiny. We want to see you step into your purpose and destiny. We want to propel you. We want you to be so connected to the vine that you produce fruit in every season, that your fruit remain, and that you prosper in everything that you do. It is his desire that you be successful with the kingdom of God that is within every single one of you. Stand to your feet. We're going to leave singing this song of surrender to our King. I'm going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we surrender our lives. We know our lives are not our own, just as Jeremiah said, I know, Lord, my life is not my own. Thank you that you've equipped us, you've entrusted us, you've empowered us, and you've authorized us. Thank you that we are valuable and important. And thank you, God, that you are going to help us make steps to activate your purpose in our lives. Even now, for 2017, will be different than any other year we've experienced. Thank you for it, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.